fellow that's coming to speak to us now has been a great treasure to me and all of my ministry, early in my ministry, that the Lord put me really in touch with him. And I was just beginning. And he so encouraged me and Sandra and I. That was in the year B.C., before children. Amen. And he so blessed me and so helped me and guided me early on. And then when Josh come along, he guided Josh. And he done pretty well in that too. Amen. But we love him so very much. And you pray for Dr. Jerry Adkins as he comes, speaks to her heart.
Amen. Thank you very much. Well, it's good to be here tonight in the Lord's house and to know that you have just a little bit of a part in somebody's life. I appreciate Brother Brad. Not long after he took a church down in Irwin, I don't know how many years that was ago, it was a long time, he called me one day and he said, "I need some help." And I said, "Well, what can I do for my friend?" He said, "I have a wedding ceremony, and of course, I've never done that, so I need a little help on an outline." So I sent him an outline for a ceremony and made a note down at the bottom. I said, "Now, remember what I've always told you, Brad. Whether it be a wedding or a funeral or a general gathering or whatever, the Word of God is always there. You can always depend on it." So he thanked me, and during the ceremony, he went through fine, not one glitch. And he got down to the very last part, and he had a brain freeze. And he said, "Oh, I remember what Brother Jerry said." So he looked at the couple and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, my brother Brad. And he, I'll tell one more on him. He's, he loves dogs. He had a little poodle dog out walking the little dog one day. It got loose from him. So he went back home forlorn and sad. The next day he got up and he said, "I'm going to find my little dog." Well, here it came. It just come running into the house, and it was painted green. And he said, "How can anybody do that to my dog?" He said, "I'm going to find out who did it, and I'm going to give them the what for." So he went around to the houses, and no luck, but finally he went to a fire station and said, "Anybody seen a dog, a little white dog?" So he said, this one man stood up, about 6'4", stood up real tall, and he said, "Yes." Yeah, said, "I know where your little dog is," and said, "I know who painted it green. What are you going to do about it?" Brad spoke up and said, "I just wanted you to know the first coat's dry." Is that enough? Well, it is so good to be here. I have been rebuked by the best for being lighthearted. But that God made me, so he knows what he's got, and I don't think there's anything wrong with laughing. Because God wants us to be a happy people. I want to let you ask a question. I'm preaching tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so you can be turning there. And there's a statement made down in verse number 9 that we'll deal with. But I want to read verses 1 through 9. And I will warn you up front, I have some new glasses and they haven't been adjusted. And I may have you over in the book of glory or something, but just hang on. I'll try to get by. Hey, they're VA. They're free, man. Take them. Go with it. Hallelujah. But you got to wait 9 months to get them adjusted, so I don't know. I want to ask the question, does my life please the Lord? You know, if preachers are no one special per se, other than the call of God upon their life, but I truly believe in my heart that the world should be able to look at the man of God and see Jesus. I really believe that, and I fail in that area. I don't want you to think I'm standing up here preaching with full authority, because I'm not. I'm up here by the grace of God and the call of God on my life. But let me read a few verses, and if these glasses will cooperate in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being changed, or clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality, or I'm sorry, that yes, might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, being known that we which are all are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight, but we're confident, and I am, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Now listen closely. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, that word accepted needs just a little bit of fine-tuning, because sometimes people look at that and say that's when Paul was saved. Well, no. He had been accepted in the beloved long before that. And how would God ever give anyone, a lost person especially, permission to write such a thing? So here, Paul, what that word is saying is, he is saying with this word, my aim and my goal in life is to reach the end of the way, still glorifying the Lord. Now notice whether he said, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim, our longing, our desire, to please the Lord. Boy, isn't that awesome? Isn't that a testimony? For every day that he lived, his heart and his mind was on the other world. He loved the Corinthian people. They gave him more fits than any other church. But he stayed some 18 months at this place trying to teach them the things of the gospel, the doctrines of the gospel. And yet he had heaven in mind all the time. That's the only double-minded man I know of is Paul. But he's not the double-minded, the same one in James chapter 1. But here he is saying at the end of my way, I want people to look at me and not brag on what I have done, but see Jesus in my life. That's exactly what I want today in my life. Because God is looking for someone to stand in the gap and make up the gap and stay with the truth. And I'm finding what little travel I do, I don't do that much anymore because of age, but I have found things I don't like to see. I was preaching the other day for a young man, and he is a fundamentalist. He's a good man. He's got a good testimony in the city, and well, he's my friend. He asked me to come and preach for him, and of course I had a date, and I went and preached for him. But right before I left the chair to come to the pulpit, he leaned over to me, Brother Brad, and said, Brother Jerry, I just want to tell you, we don't give altar calls anymore. Well, when you're 85, you don't hear well, so I just went ahead and gave one. You get by with a lot when you're 85. Boy, just long for that day, amen. But I just, you know, in my preaching, and Brad knows me, I'm not a smart aleck, but I just felt constrained by the Holy Spirit to give an altar call because of the message had been so real. It seemed like it didn't even come through me. It just seemed like a direct message. And you could see the people and then see the countenance of the people. I'm not boasting here not at all, but I went ahead and gave an invitation, and the whole front was full. I know coming forward, I know kneeling at an altar, I know all about that, but I'm going to tell you, it's a place of reverence because it's a place where God assigned us to weep and to pray for others. Amen? But we must learn to always do the things of the Lord. Now, let me give you three things, if God would give me this is something Brother Ed Moore needs, and I'm going to try to get it out where he can preach it. I like to break my preaching up in points because it's so easy, and I learned this from, excuse for using bad language in the full pulpit, but I learned this from Billy Goosby, and so it may work and it may not. I want you to look at three things. If my life and your life is going to please the Lord and do always those things that please Him, and I know we're human and I know that we're limited. We're not going to do everything that even our heart desires. We're not. But here's what we should thrive for. Number one, verses one, we must be assured of our salvation. Now, hear me out. Why, preacher, would you preach to a bunch of preachers and talk about not having eternal security settled in their heart? You'd be surprised. You're looking at a man that I was saved when I was 18 years old, Ballyhead High School auditorium. And it was in April of 1956, and in June of that same year, I went to the Navy, and that's not a seminary, the United States Navy, and trust me. So I didn't know. I knew something was wrong when I would do something wrong. I knew it was wrong, but I didn't recognize the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what was going on. So I finally learned one day the secret that God is eternal and I'm eternal in Him. And thank God that makes it well. But listen, you may be here tonight and you're a preacher of the gospel. My wife, I was pastoring my second church before my wife ever got saved. She was such a wonderful lady and a wonderful example. She's the reason that I'd go to church. But yet she was lost. So we've heard this every Sunday night and Wednesday night, but I'm going to say it again. We are in a mess in America. And it is not because of COVID or anything else. It's the love of many are waxing cold. Let's just amen. But we've got to get out into business now. We hear this good preaching this week, and yet we take it back home and lay it aside. And what did he really mean here? What did he really mean there? Listen, we need to get out into business and preach the Word of God and settle this thing of eternal security. We must have assurance of our salvation. Number two, we must be anchored in His love. Now, we'll get to that in a while. I'll tell you, fundamentalist, I is one, and I'll remain one. I'll die one. But I'm telling you, we went through a series of times some years back that we thought we had everything under control, and we were getting easy believism spread out all this time. And now that we've got down to the time to where it's really counting, and we've already turned around that last lap, and we see home waiting on us. Hallelujah. And we've got to get this thing back together, because a lot of people look at us as mean and hateful. And listen, I'm not talking about this mushy, mushy, mushy love. I'm talking about the love of God. God is love. If you're born of God, you're born of love. Amen? And God so loved that He gave that you could have eternal life. So we must be anchored in His love. And then the last thing is we must be aware of our pressing responsibilities. Oh, John hit it today. John Reynolds hit it today. We must be, now notice the word, let me emphasize by the inflection of my voice. Let me emphasize. We must be aware of our pressing responsibility. Why is it pressing? Because Jesus is coming, and he's coming real soon. So let's notice now, does my life please the Lord? We must be assured of our salvation. We cannot doubt that we're saved. We must know for a fact that we're born again by the grace of God. And I realize that Paul had this not problem, but he had this situation in Philippi. And he said, I want you to be confident. That's more than just a passing fancy, but I want you to know, and I want you to get along with God. I want you to pray until God comes down and settles these things in your life. And the greatest thing that can be settled in your life and my life is I've been born again, and I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. But here Paul said he just didn't know, and he said, I am confident. How could he say that? We can't read hearts, and we can't read we can read countenance of people's faces. But I tell you, just look at his record. That's all you got to do, and look at the letters that he wrote, and all of these things that God that led him was entrusted to this dear man. And he said, "I want you to be confident of this very thing." Now I want you to look at that verse for a moment. I never noticed this. This is kind of a sidetrack. I'll be back in a minute. But I saw something in that one verse that I'd never noticed before. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He that has begun a good work in you, salvation, will perform it, security, until the day of Jesus Christ, the second coming. I saw three major doctrines in that one verse that I never noticed before. And I want you to know that when you put your faith and trust in a risen Savior, thank God you're in the boat. Amen. It may rock and roll, and again, all water, as we hear, a bounce against it and all that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When Jesus said, we're going to the other side, get your reservation made. We're on our way. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And a man asked me the other day, he said, how do you know you're saved? I hear one way, and I hear the other way. We were standing down at the post office, and I was talking to him, and I've known him a long time. He's a good lost man. He's a good man. He's a man you could hire on any job and trust. Good man, but he's lost. I was talking to him, and he said, Jerry, let me ask you a question. He said, now, how did you come to the post office this morning? I said, I came down Grand Avenue. Why is that? He said, well, I came down Main Street. And he said, I got you. He said, because you see, you came down Main Street, or Grand Avenue, and I came down Main Street, but we all wound up at the same place. I said, yeah, but we don't go to the post office when we die. Amen? I mean, you got to be, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And amen. So we must be assured of our salvation. Let me give you the verses. Turn with me, please, back to chapter 5, Romans chapter number 5. And these are the verses that God used in my life that settled it for me once and for all. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Now I want you to underline, if you mark in your Bible, or make a mental note of that word died. For now notice, he said we were yet enemies. Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now notice here. The Bible said Christ died, right? And on down here in the bottom, it said that he's alive, right? So he's alive and well today, and as long as he's alive, I'm alive. And that's the verses God used in my life to nail it down, that once you are born again, you are saved by the grace of God, no man will ever be able to pluck you out of God's hand. Amen? I was watching what's his name? I can't think of his name. Jimmy Swaggart. Now don't go to sleep on me. I like some of his music. Now the reason I do is because the Baptists are getting so dead. Or if they're not dead, they're exercising on Sunday morning. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you're in the same boat I am. But the singing got over, and Donnie, the boy, started preaching. And he got down there, and someone, they got a thing where you call in. And Brad calls every once in a while. I don't know why, but he called.
He
now you got me messed up. But someone called in and asked him and said, how do you guys, because they're almost Baptists, they're Baptist-cultural, they're working on it. And how do you do that? He said, you can walk away. He said, we believe in eternal security, but we believe that we can walk away. Now, who under God's heaven can walk away from the power of God's hand? I mean, it is just ridiculous. But look at the thousands of people they reach. But anyway, if we're going to have a life that's pleasing to the Lord, we must be assured of our salvation. Then we must be aware of our pressing responsibility. Now, what is this pressing responsibility? Go back with me, please, to where we were in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Now, the Bible mentions here, down in verse, I can't get it over. Yeah, down in the verse 18 and 19 and 20. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now listen, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, if you look at Mark chapter 16, you'll see that we're all of us, not just missionaries, but go ye into all of the world. Means every single one of us here tonight that's saved by grace. Why don't we go? Because we have the words of reconciliation. Now, how does that work? A man, and I'm giving you some illustrations tonight, but they're good ones. A man asked me one day, said, if the Holy Spirit has got to rebuke or bring a man under conviction, how in the world can I lead a person to Christ? Now think about that. And here's what I do. I believe the Lord will forgive me if I get one or two wrong. But I talk to people about the Lord and give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's very important in this transition, because if they are not, especially if they're a child, if they're not under conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get a blank there. You're going to get someone that's green. You're going to get someone that's not saved. But look very closely. Now, when I present the gospel, I observe their face. I welcome in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to witness. When he does that, I lead them in a prayer if they want to pray. But I want to tell you something. We can lead people to Christ, but only the Holy Spirit can lead them into Christ. That's what I do every day, if not every day of my life, when I'm witnessing about the Lord. Because here the Bible said that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And that's exactly what the Word of God means. So there's no excuse. This is the place, we're the people, and we're to get the job done. Amen? But we must be aware of our pressing responsibilities. Then the last thing is, we'll talk about, we must be anchored in God's love. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now listen close. If you'll notice the Bible there in 14, it says, the love of Christ, the love of Christ constraineth me. My love is fickle, right? My love is conditional. I'll love you if you'll love me. I love you if you'll do this for me. But God says, I love you, period. Amen? So we've got to realize, well, what does that mean, preacher, the love of Christ? Now, that simply means when we raise our hands and our hearts toward heaven and we look to him and praise his wonderful name for who he is and letting us be a child of God, that is showing our love for God. That is every day that we live, that shows our life for God. So question number one is, does my life please the Lord? When I come into a place, coming up here, I stopped, and my wife made me stop. I'm 86 year old, so she wants me to stop every so often and check in. So I don't ever get away from my boss, amen. So I stopped at this place, and I was talking to this man, and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Well, I'm going to a preacher's meeting." And you can tell when a preacher is when it's uncomfortable for a preacher to answer those questions, he'll say, "I'm a minister." I always say, "I'm a preacher. I'm an old Baptist preacher." So we got to talking about that, and he said, "What makes you people so happy?" And that really stung me, man. I said, "Praise God within my heart." Because one of the greatest witnesses you and I can have is tell them how much God loves you. Absolutely, that's the best message you can ever live in. So I'm going to close and let the poetry come. But I want to ask you that question in closing. Does your life count for Christ? Does my life count for Christ? I wonder about that. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you let us enjoy. Lord, all these dear godly men and women that's here tonight, there's enough of us, Lord, to change this country. Help us to do it one by one. And, Lord, I'll thank you for all that you do because I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I got to do one other thing before Brother Brad comes and the preacher, the other man comes. Someone told me to be able to preach with Brother Bledsoe that you had to know poetry. Because, Lord, that's all he does. So let me give mine. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow.
Thank you. Is that it?
That's it. We let Brother Bledsoe do that.
Yeah.